I want to be on 1 Peter, the second part of the chapter 1. But before I want to read to you guys the verse that spoke to me as I shared with you guys last time I was here, I'm going to read it in a different translation this time, Psalms 57. I'm going to read it on the complete Jewish Bible translation. So I want you to hear verse, well, on the Jewish Bible has verse 3 and the NIV is verse 2. But I want you to hear to the part about God is accomplishing his purpose in each one of us. When we tend to look at the scriptures with God's favor, doesn't matter what verse you will read, it will first of all bring your heart. He wants you to be broken, not to be unknowing.
Amen.
You know, because the Bible teaches us a way for us to stay humble and walk with your God. See, when somebody comes in and stands in such a way, even when they're right, I was sharing with some brothers yesterday, and I've been sharing with all of you guys for quite some time, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you do not do, he will always love you. He will never reject you. Can be a little sin, can be a great sin, doesn't matter. He's just waiting for you and me to come back to him. And so I want to read on Psalms 57. The complete Jewish Bible says Tehillim 57, 2 and 3. I know in the NIV is verse 1, but listen what it says in here. Show me favor. Show me favor, God. Show me favor. For in you I have taken refuge. Yes. I will find refuge in the shadow of your wings until the storm has passed. I call to God, the Most High, to God who is accomplishing the purpose of his purpose for me.
Amen.
When we read these verses, I share with you guys, a lot of people struggle with what's my purpose in the church, what I'm supposed to do, what is my calling. And I'm here to tell you today, and I shared with my sister yesterday, the simple factor that you are in, that's good enough for God. What worship we must do? What am I supposed to do? You know what Jesus told his friends and the people that was hearing him? Believe. Believe in him who sent me, and you will be saved. I shared with you guys last week that I was preparing you to the walk of sanctification. A lot of people doesn't capish that, doesn't, because they want to do things upon their own strength. We wanna listen, even when you said I don't, in our nature, we want to take a little bit of God's glory. Because you wanna show to everybody, this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what we're gonna set up ourselves upon. And you know what? Those we should do without the discarding the first one. See, all glory and all honor goes to our God.
Amen.
See, because he is the only one who is perfect. I'm going to read to you guys 1 Peter 13 to 25, amen? And then we pray. I want to read it because then we're going to go back to it. If you guys don't mind, go to 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to 25. And the scripture reads like this. And I know, brothers, this is a continuation. There is a therefore in here, but doesn't matter. I've been trying to tell you guys for quite some years to read the whole letter. There is no way that people will take the Bible out of context when you read the entire letter. If it is 149 chapters, read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. If it is one chapter, read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is, so that we do not take the Bible out of context. It says in here, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Amen. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverence, in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Amen. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth,
amen,
so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the fields. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Amen.
And this is the word that you have believed upon. See, I start the message like this, brothers, because I want you to comprehend what God gave me for today. I was telling some brothers yesterday, when I jump off the bed, because we sometimes think that we're so strong, that we're unbreakable, that, you know, that we're not gonna be shaken until the stinky storm passes through you. It's easy for us to try to tell others it's all good and it's okay and all this other stuff, and you know, it's true. There is no light on that. But when you're passing through, a bunch of stuff comes to your head. It's different when you see somebody that you love going through things. But it's double meaning when you yourself are going through things. It's just amazing how God start embracing you and start teaching you. Listen, I am real. I was telling my dear brother yesterday, heaven is real. I seen it. I believe with everything I have, and I'm longing to be there where my stinky wife brought me out from, back from. It's amazing what is ahead of us. And this message was preached to you. See, sometimes we tend to make storms inside of our stinky little cup. And God is telling you, I have more than this for you. Let that cup overflow. Amen. Instead of trying to cover that nobody takes out of your water.
Amen.
But because, listen, I just read to you that these things were passed on to us through our ancestors.
Okay.
But if you don't stop and drop everything that you were taught, everything that you have learned all your life, and have a full dependency upon the one who gives life, we are going to struggle.
That's right.
See, because we sometimes don't understand that, listen, salvation is free, to grace you have been saved. And I've been telling, I told my brother yesterday, listen, do you think I'm God because I'm a pastor? Do you think that I don't struggle with the stuff that you're going through? He himself, who has no sin, went through every single temptation or struggle that you go through. He was 100% God and 100% man, and never failed the Father. Okay, he was the obedient child.
Amen.
And I told you guys that you guys was the disobedient child, and I still am the disobedient child. And I quote a verse that another of my brothers loves, for the things I ought to do, I don't do. Mm-hmm. See, the things I'm not supposed to do, I find myself doing it very often. Let us pray. Lord, I come before you to thank you for today. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our God, the one that was revealed, manifested, who walked among my brothers, and they saw them and ate with him. Your word says in this chapter, Lord, that we haven't seen him, but yet we love him. What a great love you have lavished upon us, God. We try to grasp and we try to understand your way, but man, we fall so short. I ask, Lord, that as you share with me throughout the week, Lord, and the way that you touch my heart, that you will touch my brothers and my sisters. Lord, let us be attentive to do what you command and to lead the ways that we were taught by many years through other generations, God. Let us take that blindfulness, Lord. Your word says that ever knowing but never perceiving. Thank you for your teachings, God. Thank you for the model that you set before us to follow. Help us together, God, as we thrive to reach that prize, God, that has been prepared and set for us from the get-go. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus Christ I pray.
Amen. Amen.
1 Peter chapter verse 13. I'm going to read for you guys verse 13 and 14. And the NIV says, therefore, where's the ESV? I'm sorry. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. There is a key verse right there for all of us. See, because he wants you to be renewed in your mind, the way you used to think, the way that you used to deal with things. He wants you. Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh.
I just feel like something to you.
Gotcha, sorry.
Therefore, with. Oh, yeah, that's loud.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to repeat verse 13 because to me, it means a whole lot. See, this is the verse that woke me up from my. I was telling some brothers, I don't know what I was, but what I was, I didn't want to come back. But if I would have get up and write this, I would have probably forgot it. You know, sometimes we go through life and God is trying to tell you something, and because of the busyness of life, you don't take the time to write it down. I was thinking, how did my brothers pass all this to us? And you know, when I was awakened, you know, get up to go write it down, that's when God shared with me, this is how I did it with them. That they probably would have forgot it too. Peter was a man that was very religious, worse than Paul. See, a lot of people looks at Paul as the champ, right? The apostle Paul. And truly, he was the champ, if you don't mind. But this guy over here, he was really, really smart. He was a great leader, all right? He was very religious. And as he started to grow in the knowledge of God's word and the message of God, his mind was changed. Because he used to see certain things that, you know, I don't relate with those guys. I don't hang with those ones. You know, they're homeless. They're dogs. They're drug addicts. They're tax collectors. I never eat anything that is impure. All these observations taught by many generations. Am I saying that they were wrong? I've been telling you guys for quite some time, they were not wrong. They were good things for you to observe, for right to observe, to uphold. But when you're being sanctified, you understand the verse that I read to you on the complete Jewish verse. Verse 3, I call to God the Most High, to God who is accomplishing his purpose for me. He is accomplishing his purpose for you. You cannot do it. You have not been crucified. You cannot save nobody. You have not spilled blood for the sake of others just yet. You cannot drink that cup, but you will. He will teach you the way how to do that. And I want to share it with you guys today. Verse 13 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, say your hope on the grace to be brought to you. To be brought to you. You're already on grace. It's still going to come to you. He's coming for you and for me. He gave you a promise. He's not going to take it away from you. He put a seal in your forehead. And no one can snatch him out of his hand. It's a promise. See, we sometimes tend to, instead of bringing people unto the feet of Jesus, because of our stinking knowledge, push them away from Jesus.
That's right.
Instead of bringing them in, because your posture, because of your point of view, I told my boys, all the denominations are made by men. That was not God's intent. But through many generations, for more than 1,700 years, people has made the name of Jesus a mockery among the unbelievers. I'm talking about believers. Because of their manner of conduct. Instead of just loving what we have heard from the beginning, staying in there, growing with him, letting him teach you and snap that what is not of him, so that you can be holy as he's holy. I shared with you guys last week, this word means forgiver, mercy. Be merciful because he is your heavenly Father, is merciful. Be a forgiver. He took all my sins away. Washed me with blood. All of it I have done, everything I'm doing, and everything I'm going to do, washed by the blood of Jesus. And I'm waiting for him to be revealed. We're longing, like the earth is longing to receive his new body. In the same way, we should have that longingness. Let's check this out. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, when you were not a believer. Check this out, you guys, when you were not religious. But just as he who called you is holy, he who called you passes, he wants you to understand that you are born again. Not by any means of human nature, but by the deliverance, by the power of God's word. That's where faith comes in, through hearing and hearing God's word.
Amen.
See, because, man, it's just so deep what God was sharing with me, and I wanna work with you guys. I'm gonna go to verse 15. Says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. I can assure you that you're going to fail. Doesn't mean that you should not thrive to be holy like him. Check this out. When you were an enemy of God, at the proper time he sent his only begotten son, when you were still in your flesh, he did not condemn you. He did not judge you. He did not tell you, I want you to do this, do that, and do that, so you can earn salvation. He just loves you. He just picked you up from the mud that we were upon, and did not pass one hair of judgment upon you when you were so stinky, guilty as I was and as I am. He loves you. And he's still loving you. Amen. He did not stop loving you or caring for you. That's what he says in Philippians 16, says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. You know, the world has many needed purposes to change the way most people has been taught. In the Bible, there is so many needed things for us to learn of the things that that it was passed on to us by many generations. Doesn't matter what denomination you were part of. There is so many rules, so many ways for you to follow. I hear a sister tell me, there is a rigid pattern for you to become a member of that church. I'm like, God bless your heart. I'm not talking about the churches, brothers. It's not my what I'm in the pulpit for. But I want to tell the only requirement that God has is for you to believe and to love everybody. If, I told my brother, if because of my stinky title, you are ashamed to come and visit me, please know that I love you. I have stopped loving you now one day and praying for you guys. Through love, you don't have to say it by words. I told some sisters, you just go to the room and let God be God. He takes care of matters. In the Bible, you're going to find many ways to change the way that you were taught. And to learn God's way, to learn God's model. One of God's purposes for us to be merciful or forgiver, just as God has been merciful and forgiving us. That's one of God's purposes for us to walk upon this earth. See, I'm going to take you to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Because I want you to hear this. In the contents, you know, in Luke chapter 6, God starts to share with the brothers, and people comes against him because, you know, he's going to heal on the Sabbath and all these other things. And when you, after you go down upon the verses I'm going to read to you, God is still dealing with the things of the heart, not with the things that were passed on to generations. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. See, because I want, see, Jesus is here talking to the brothers, and people is coming against him, and he knows what they're thinking and how they're reasoning, and he's trying to reach them. He already had a crowd with him that was already following him, that has accepted the message. See, he didn't need no fame. He was already, according to the scripture, the name of what he was doing was already known throughout the region. He didn't need no introduction to know, like everybody have here, what he was doing. But there is always some religious folks. That's what I was trying to tell you. See, when you stand like this, people that has walked away from God, they will be reconciled. They will be brought back to the Canaanite, to the fellowship of the saints. But if we become like, it's my way or the highway, we just want to push them away. Check this out. Chapter 6, 27 says, "But you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." This is radical, man. See, when I'm talking with God and I'm praying for some brothers, and these verses come to my head, and then I receive a, you know, three beautiful verses. And I enjoy it. I couldn't stop sharing. I need to sometimes shield, but you know, I can't. I saw beautiful things yesterday, you guys. And you know, one of them sent me a text in the middle of the night. And it was awesome. Just love them, man. Just love them. Listen to these contents, okay? Because people, sometimes they want Jesus to react upon the attack of those ones who are coming against him. And Jesus is telling his friends, listen, I want to say to you, listen, okay? But to you who are listening, I say, you love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And just in case. Okay, just in case. This is not a suggestion. See, be holy because he's holy. Amen. It's in the contents. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. And I shared with you what it means last week when I was here. Is somebody going to try to dishonor you? Take your peace. That's what it means. It's not that you're going to be all slapped down to the floor. I told you a story when this young homegirl slapped me in the face for defending an old lady. I didn't react. I just took my peace. Back in the days, that girl would have went down. You know? You just walk away. You don't have to argue. You don't have to fight. You don't have to defend yourself. That's what it means. Take your honor with you. Because if you misbehave, you're displeasing him who called you.
That's right. You're acting like the other person.
No. No room for that. That's why he's teaching us to be different. Everything that we were taught on the hood, everything that we were, you know, dealing with, he wants you to be different. He doesn't want you to continue being the same guy or the same person.
Amen.
He wants you to let him work in your life. For you to listen, there is a psalm, says, I think 25, and God will teach sinners on the way. On the way. It's a process that he's accomplishing for us. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your t-shirt from them either. Don't enslave yourselves to things of this earth. I told you a few weeks back, you think that this building is our building? Watch when he comes. Not a stone will be upon this place. And people anchor themselves to properties and things of this earth. So sad. Because you have a deed. Give the deed. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you will have them to do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you. Even sinners love those who love them. Even unbelievers does that. Check this out. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what great is that to you? Even sinners do that. In other words, if you continue on the same path, you're not showing no difference on your walk. You're not testifying. But if you do the opposite, then you're testifying. It's like the Bible said that you're bringing coals upon their heads. See, because it's so easy to say, God bless you. Keep warm. Get well fed. And don't do nothing for them. There is so many needed things to be changed for us in God's word so that we can reflect the example that he came to give us. How to behave, how to do things, how to be holy. And if you lend to those, verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Just in case you didn't hear it the first time. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, who I call. Listen, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He's kind. I told you guys last week, there is two types of children in a household. They continue being your children. You're not going to love them less or more. Impartiality. You want to share the same love with them. There is one who obeys, who stays with you all the time, and he has everything that belongs to you, but the one who has walk away. When he comes back, you're supposed to embrace them. You guys saw that yesterday. You guys saw tears on that young man. How the Spirit of God was pouring upon this guy. That's how you love. You know why? Because, and I told you guys, because I've been praying on the room where nobody knows for them. And I have a reward in heaven. He says, I don't promise you nothing, but I know that he's working in my heart. I thought, at least once a month, brother. Keep coming. He's going to be there again this week. You guys want to go? Let's bombard him. You know, but you just love him, man. I'm not saying that he's my enemy. He's my brother. I told him, I have short time, brother. I would be so glad and pleased to see you back in ministry, man. Don't be too hard. God will bind those wounds. Everything that has been hurt, all those scars and cuts and mistreatments and deceivings and everything, God will bind them up. Do not hate them. Love them. Pray for them. Pray for them. This is the way God's showing us to be. But if I, for 1 minute, I would agree with whatever discomfort was, I don't listen. I hear this from a wise man. Learn to agree to disagree. That covers a whole multitude of sins. Because love is greater, sister. And the greater of this is love. That's how we're supposed to walk, you guys. Listen, we're not the judge. I'm not saying, oh, because you're believing, this is why you're changing your mind. No. This is what we were supposed to be from the beginning. But all my knowledge and all my education has caused me to push others away, including those who has done the hurt. Because to attend, like, how can they say that? Come on, you guys. Pray for your brothers. Love them. Do good. Don't do what is evil. Don't talk about other churches. Love them. Pray for them. Be in that room where nobody sees. Check this. I want to read it to you. Verse 36 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Let's go back to 1 Peter, right? And let's read 17 and 8 and and 18. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Why? Because listen what it says on 17 of 1 Peter. So you call on a Father who judges each person. Work. You see, that's the key, impartially. He doesn't show favoritism because I'm a pastor. I mean, I wish I would not know what I know. Man, because I know, I hold myself accountable before you. False teachers don't care. Leave out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Here on earth, in reverent fear, my brothers. For you know what he was not with perishable. For you know that you were saved with we was not perishable things such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors or from your forefathers. This word of being reverent in fear, a lot of people trace upon. My sister shared something with me about the reverent fear yesterday, and I was blessed with it. Okay, it's not that you're afraid. Well, not in a frightened manner. I was still talking to you last week about my older brother and I. Come on. We want to go swim. But we don't have no permission. You do not want to knock you down. Keep walking. And my mom, Guillermo. You're in free, you know, from all the way from the house. And I told my brother, if you turn around, you're going down. We're going to go swimming. Because I want to teach him how to swim. You never learn, by the way. You know, but... But I knew when I went back, that was a reverent fear. Because the host was waiting for me. See, because I was disobedient. I was always the guy doing what he was, the wrong, you know, the other stuff, still doing what you were told. Go here, I go there. Go there, I go here. I always was like that. But I had this respect towards my mom. Because she was my mom and my dad, because, you know, I was not dead. And I had this, I knew that after having fun, swimming, trying to teach my boy, when I went back to my house, I was going to be punished. That's the type of reverent fear he's talking about in here. My mom never stopped loving me to this very day. Okay? But I was in disobedience. And I knew I needed to be instructed. See, that's the word for rebuke, instructed. It's not being just afraid in the sense of being spooked or scared, but on complete reverence or submission, accepting the superiority of others in front of you. That would be the reverent fear. I've been telling you that God's not a God of disorder. God's a God of order. Okay? And he selects certain people. I was telling my sister, some people are selected to fight, others just to be protected. But they're still of the same household. You see that? I was the guy throwing punches, and my older brother was the one that needed to be protected when he was supposed to be all the way around, according to what we were taught by our generation, by our ancestors. The oldest take care of the youngest. See, he was powers with me. God starts teaching you things for you to understand his way. He has set somebody to be the head. His name is Jesus. Amen. So he wants you to be in reverent fear and complete submission to him. That's what it takes to be holy, to be set apart, to be different. See, that's what the word is leading to. And reverend fear, listen, I just shared with you that I had a super, and I wrote it to my brothers, to my family, 2004, August the 22nd. I gave my life to Christ. 20 years ago almost. And I have not stopped serving him. Because I cry out to him, if you are the God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reveal yourself to me. And I told my wife, I couldn't get up from the floor. Even if I tried, I couldn't. That was how heavy the power of the presence, being on the presence of God is. I wanted to see, but I couldn't. I couldn't. My head was in the floor, my forehead. And this fear came back to me like when I went to the church to go knock down Great Glory. That was my purpose. I went to church. The same fear that I had in that church, on my room, on my office, then I had it. And I was down on the floor once more. And I said, okay, God, I will serve you. And from that day to this very day, I've been serving God. Mistakes, behind mistake, behind mistake, behind mistake. And he has not stopped loving us. All the way through. He's being faithful. I'm going to share with you a story in Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verse 15 to 18. It's the story. This is profound, but I want to read to you. Not only the part where Daniel also was down to the ground, but there is something in here that is very powerful for us to be setting our things for the day that is about to be revealed. Keeping in the context what I just read on 1 Peter, because if we do not set our minds on those things, we are going to continue doing what is not pleasing to God. Verse 15 to 18 reads, while I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. I wonder who he was. Check this out. I know the Bible is so simple. You guys know who he was. And I hear a man's voice from the Ulai calling. The Ulai, I want you to pay attention to that. See, the Ulai River. Jeez. So there is the Tigris River that comes from Egypt, where Moses was placed. You feel me? And he was taken unto Pharaoh's daughter's shelter. That river comes and joins the Euphrates. The Ulai is the where they divide. One goes to the Holy Land, one goes to Egypt. And they both were for God. Because Moses was sent to Egypt being a Hebrew. He was raised as an Egyptian. Learned all the languages except for his native language. He was kind of started to speaking. He had an accent like mine to speak in Hebrew. He was sent to Egypt to be brought back up. You were in Egypt, and you were brought up to the Euphrates. See, because those rivers are prophetical speaking. I want you guys to know that. When that river starts drying up, get ready. The Bible says that's one of the signs. Because how can it be dried up if it's coming from the ocean and the Tigris is feeding it? What is drying? Go check the news. And I hear a man's voice from the Ulai calling, Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision. Ulai has few meanings in the original language. But something that I when I was looking at it, one of the meanings is pure water. A salty water with living water purifies. You're the salt of the world. Jeez, I hope you guys get it. One of the meanings for this word is pure water. There has to be a division. There has to be a pattern. And when the two join together, he made them one. And no man can separate that. The other one is to conceal. The meaning of Ola is to conceal. Just think about it. He has given you the power and authority to overcome anything that comes your way. You can read about the Euphrates and the Tigris on Genesis 15. I'm not going to go there because I don't have the time. And then verse 17 says, as he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. He went down. There is not a man who stands in the presence of God who will say, yeah, I'm selected. Man, I went down when I first got saved. And I went down when I called upon him. And I'm still going down when I'm in the presence of God.
Amen.
It's not a one-time deal. You have to have that reverent fear. You have to understand that you're in the presence of the Most High God. Son of man, he said to me, understand that the vision concerns the time of the end. While he was speaking to me, I was in the deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then he touched me and raised me to my feet. I don't know if you guys remember. I should take you guys there. Let's go to Luke 22, 39 to 44. See, because Jesus did the same thing. He did it for Daniel. He did it with Jesus. He does it with me and with you. See, an angel Gabriel went and raised him up and stand him up and renew his strength. You cannot do it by yourself. It has to be commanded by God. If we start standing upon our own strength and we're building things upon our own foundations, instead of the foundation that he gave us. Listen what it says on Luke 22, 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone throw beyond them. Jeez. How far can you throw a stone? I want to separate myself to pray so I can be an example to you how you reveal to God. I mean, praying for some folks in a quiet spot where nobody detours me or any distractions occurs. See, because I'm asking the one who gives life to restore these things. I had a vision that this place was packed. I saw all friends coming to join us for service, just as a business, but in complete unity. God gave me that vision. We were having 3-4 services because of how many people was coming to this little place. How is that going to happen? I'm giving you guys this. We've been praying for workers. We've been praying for people. And they're starting, you guys started to come. And it's just the beginning of things. Check this out. How, you know, as throw a stone, kneel down and pray. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. You see what he did with Daniel? You see what he does with me? You see why I'm standing so faithful upon the word he gave me? I told you guys, I'm going to go through Gustav this morning. And I'm down for it. I know who has me. I know where I stand. He gave me word and I'm going to stay with it. I still have to be obedient. I have to go with the stuff. But I'm standing that next morning I'm receiving something good.
Amen.
You know? This is how he comes to you. And because, if I do it up on my own, I probably would have been already packing it up. Verse 44 says, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. You see, you're going to go through stuff. I told you guys last week. Just think about it. I'm not taking what Jesus was praying for away. He's giving us an example how you're going to, and Peter is doing the same thing on the first letter. You're going to go through things, man. It's all good. Pray. And he will send an angel and, and, strengthen you. Listen what he says again, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Just in case you guys want to know if we can compare our sufferings with his. What we're going through is just a portion. But my Bible says that he will take up, you know, some gouges, and he will bind you up, and he will heal all those wounds, and he will restore people, and he will call people out of darkness into this marvelous light. Amen. See, that's the message. Let's go back to 1 Peter 17 to 18. Give me three, 4 more minutes, and I'll be done. Let's read 17, 18 once more. Amen? I just want to share that another of God's purpose is to trust him when unexpected things or suffering comes our way. Trusting him. So we could bring glory to him as we testify of his goodness and to understand the price he has paid to redeem us all. He already did it. But listen, okay? But with the precious, verse 17 says, since you call on a father who judges each person's work, impartially leave out your time as foreigners hidden in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Know that you have purified the Ulai, okay, yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. Amen. That's how you were born again. That's how he wants you to be holy, to be forgiving, to be merciful, to love everybody. Even if it's your enemy, pray for them. Do what is good. Doesn't matter, because we're supposed to be different. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers on the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. And this is the word that was preached to you when you first got saved. You are not condemned. You are not judged. So therefore, you should not judge. You should not condemn nobody. You should work with them so that they can be where you are at.
See,
See? Sorry, people laugh. When we were against God, he showed us his love. He showed us his compassion. He's been showing us his faithfulness.
That's right.
See, to this very day, he has sustained us. And he will continue all the way to the end. It's a promise. Another of God's purposes is to remind each other of our first encounter with God. Don't ever forget when you first got saved.
Amen.
That will keep your fire burning, your flame blowing, your desire to get the milk and to get the meat. It will be there. It will be there. See, it's important for us to be reminded of these things, because you listen, at the latter days, the love of many will grow cold.
Right.
Because of their own point of views. I have learned to take my peace. Not in judgment, to go and pray for my brothers. When nobody sees me. Where I don't have to tell you what I'm praying for you. You guys feel me? But I have eyes to see. And I have ears to hear. And I don't pass judgment upon only you. I'm here to remind you of that. I was reminded of that through this week. When have I judged you? When have I failed you? When have I left you behind? To this very day, He has kept us. He has sustained us. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Do what He commands, His way, not our way. Because our way will lead to death. I want you guys to know that. He will push people away. But if we do His way, His heart direct, people will come to Him. This place will be back. Let this place be full of love for one another. Amen? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You to thank You. Thank You, God, for everything that You've been sharing upon us and the stuff that You've been teaching us, God. I pray, Lord, that as we seek for the purpose that You have for each and one of us in here, Father, I pray that my brother will hear and understand that it's with unity, with You first, putting You first in all things that we do. Because the only one that is holy is You. And You're calling us to do to everything that we do, to do it in holiness and be holy in all that we do. I ask, Lord, that You will bless this place, Lord, that You will fulfill Your purpose that You've been working upon this place, God. We stand here in unity, Lord, saying that, okay, God, You got this. You do this. You bring the workers. You set up new programs. You bring the educational teachers. You bring the hard workers, God. You bring the evangelists. You bring the prophets, Father. You bring the pastors and teachers and the apostles, God, to be a place, a light upon this darkened neighborhood, God. Let it be done according to Your will. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Amen.
I hope you guys were blessed. I was blessed through the week. And all I can tell you before my wife comes is just to stay in course. Maintain the road. Fight the good fight. See, we're fighting against spiritual things, not against each other. The enemy is the one who wants to divide us. The enemy is the one who wants to, for you to see things one way and agree with your brother and your sister. We are many members forming one body. Can I share with you guys about my brothers, the Mormons? And the SDA guys praying for me this weekend? Praise God for them. Love them. Don't be because they're SDA, we don't see eye to eye. Because they believe one way. They're wrong in how they believe. Or the Mormons. Or the Catholics. My Bible says that we're many members from one body. If they have belief in the one He sent, then He is going to deal with the matter according to what I read to you in with impartiality. He will check everyone's word. Not us. As we're here, we're called to love everybody. This is how you're going to know that you're His disciple. The manner that you love. Doing to them as you will love to them and to you. That's the golden rule, brothers and sisters. God bless you guys.